Susan Schmidt is here. She's going to count your money. It's all brought to you by DeVry University, Keller Graduate School of Management. Learn loud. And Susan, everybody's on vacation. I drive to work. There's nobody here. It's like it's crickets and jet fighters in the air. What could possibly be the impact in the markets here?
So, well, it is very quiet. So a lot of people are on vacation. We see these 3 weeks of the year usually have the lowest volume, and that's just because no one's working. So a lot of people in New York, on the East Coast, in Chicago, people around the financial markets, the kids are back from camp. It's time to go on a family vacation before school starts. And what it does mean is we're going to see volume pick up right as we hit that beginning of September, beginning of the school year, because a lot of people are going to focus attention back on the market. They're back at their desks, back at work, and it's going to add to volatility.
So there can't be volatility. Explain exactly why that works.
Well, you're going to have more people come back. And then the other thing that's going to add to volatility, don't forget, as we hit September, is election rhetoric is really going to start to pick up. So that volatility issue is important in the market. When you have too few people, sometimes you can get outlier stock prices because there's no one there to take the other side of the trade. When you have a lot of people, it tends to even out. You get a more balanced trade, but you also get more of a herd reaction to news and headlines that might create temporary stress in the market. So much like Brexit, it was a panic, but it was a panic for about 24 hours, and then things recovered. So we like having more people involved in the market. Things recover quicker. It evens out faster.
All right. So there is some stuff happening because everybody's on vacation. All the big money guys, they all go to Jackson Hole, Wyoming, and they sit there and they drink their Manhattans at lunch, and then they sit in a room and choose economic policy. That scares me.
So, yes, and it probably shouldn't scare you that much. They're very intelligent, and I don't think they're sitting in a room drinking Manhattans. Exactly. I just don't picture Janet Yellen doing that. I'm not sure.
White wine?
Potentially, white wine. A nice Chardonnay.
Yeah, okay.
So we do have Jackson Hole coming up. There's no Fed meeting in August. The next Fed meeting is in September. But our next economic-focused event is this symposium at Jackson Hole, where worldwide economists gather. They come to discuss the economy. This year's topic, which I know is going to sound very exciting, is designing resilient monetary policy frameworks for the future.
Oh, my God, that's exactly what Ryan Lochte said.
That's exactly right. He can't wait. He's going to be there with a front row seat. So,
I think, as a matter of fact, I think he's written some of the speech for this, which I think is going to be really great. Ha ha.
I know, it'll be a very short speech with a lot of pauses. So the Jackson Hole topic is kind of funny. Those are a lot of fancy words to describe the fact that they're going to discuss exactly what's going on in the world right now. And they're going to work on what do we do with monetary policy, and that means what do we do with interest rates. So people are waiting to see what happens and to see what happens and comes out of this discussion. Janet Yellen will be there. We don't know what role she's going to play. We know she'll be speaking, but we don't know whether it's on a panel, as part of a group,
now,
or whether
why
she'll
we,
have her
I,
own
I'm
speech.
Sorry. Why don't we know that? What is with all the secrecy?
Well, they're still defining their schedule. So much like any conference, the schedule hasn't been released yet. It is coming. We'll see it next week. And we do know she's going to be there. She's going to be there on the 26th. So everyone is kind of keen into that now. We had the Fed minutes come out this week on Wednesday. People looked at that to see what are the governors saying? What is that Fed board that controls our interest rate? What are they thinking? Because everybody's waiting for that next interest rate increase. And now they'll be looking to Jackson Hole and see what she says there to see if there's any change in tone.
Do these guys wear suits or sweaters? Or what do they do at Jackson Hole? What's the attire?
I think at Jackson Hole, it's business casual.
Business casual.
I think economists in general like to look spiffy.
Uh-huh. Like hiking shoes or no?
I have heard tales of economists going out on hikes and enjoying the scenery while they're there. Even they have to take some time off every now and then. They can't save the world's economy and solve all the world's economic problems all at once.
You know, there was a story from years ago. Disney bought ABC. ABC was owned by a small company called Capital Cities, and Warren Buffett owned a majority stake in the stock and sold ABC to Disney in the parking lot of the conference center in Jackson Hole to Michael Eisner, who was running Disney at the time. Is that the kind of thing that can happen there?
Apparently, yes.
Well, I mean, that's 20 years ago, but I mean, do these guys sit around the parking lot and go, I got a $4 billion deal for you right now. You want to do it? Okay, yeah, good.
You know, sometimes the biggest deals are made in the strangest places, because there's a lot of positioning and studying of companies and looking at what might be a great strategic fit. But at the end of the day, it's cultures. Do companies match up? Do the CEOs, can they get along? Do they see a fit for the businesses coming together? And sometimes that's decided over dinner or walking out into a parking lot after a big meeting, talking about things and saying, all right, you know, this sounds good. Let's take a look at it.
All right. Now, there's also talk about international interest rates. Again, something that Ryan Lochte and I were talking about just a few hours ago on the phone. What are we looking at here? Why is there so much concern about the interest rates in Europe specifically?
Well, interest rates in Europe are a topic right now because people are wondering what's happening with the European economy. And that seems to be the focus, because people are very concerned post-Brexit, what's going on with industrial production, what's going on with manufacturing, what's going on with jobs in Europe. As we worry about support coming out for the European economy, which means the European Central Bank is going to be lowering interest rates or keeping rates low to help promote vitality within the economy, right? They want to promote movement of money between businesses. That means that internationally, people have a choice of where to go. If interest rates in Europe get very low, then they want to start looking to interest rates in the U.S. to see. And they also want to get out of Europe because they're not sure what's going to happen. You want to go to the area where you find you have the most economic stability. And right now, that's the U.S. So they want to move into U.S. dollars, and they're buying U.S. treasuries and U.S. bonds. And so we're concerned because when they do that, remember that the price of bonds and interest rates are a seesaw. So when one goes up, the other goes down, and vice versa. So when they're doing that, there's more demand for bonds. They're driving the price up. Our interest rates are going down.
Is this something for us to be concerned about heading into the fall, especially given the fact that there's international exposure in the framework of the American election?
We've had this exposure all year. It comes back as a topic as we get concerned, and this is why we're so focused on data points from the outside. And this is also why I think Chairwoman Yellen has been so focused on what's happening internationally. The Fed has really paid attention to not just the U.S. this cycle, but also what's going on outside our borders. As we go into the election cycle, I think that the Fed does not want to get involved in any part of that political process. They want to be and continue to be a separate entity. But we will see sound bites from the different candidates that are going to affect the market and cause some volatility in the near term, whether they're talking about support or lack of support for different sectors, such as healthcare or defense. Internationally, we care what happens there. We'll continue to care. And I think that that's something that the Fed is going to be aware of. We'll probably see them talk about the potential for an interest rate increase before year end. But again, if that increase happens, it's speculated to be just 25 bips. That's a quarter of a percent. So a very small amount, just to give a little nudge up on the interest rate that we have currently.
Yeah. Dow doesn't seem to really care about the fact that Donald Trump kind of apologized and said, hey, you know what? I feel sometimes bad about things. I'm not sure why. Okay.
No, the Dow has really done a good job ignoring both
candidates. Well, now, how is that? I mean, I know we talk about this because volumes are low, and so things aren't going to really move all that much for these couple of weeks if people are on vacation. But how, when they see the stuff coming out about Hillary Clinton, or they see the stuff coming out about Donald Trump, or the Ukrainian connection to Paul Manafort, I mean, how is it possible?
There are a few issues. Yeah, so how it is surprising that the market has been just basically ignoring all the news from the run-up to the big presidential election.
Okay, all right, here's what I want to ask you then, because this is important. The market sometimes does get intentionally blind to these things, and we've seen it to really, really scary ill effects before, right? It happened in the 1920s,
right.
And then it happened once again just about 9 years ago.
Well, this is not the same situation. So the market has a few instances that you're pointing to, then unaware of certain things developing. However, normally the market is on top of things. Remember that we've had some big things happen thus far this year. So at the beginning of the year, we really were worried about China. We did not know what was going to happen. We thought China was like grinding to a halt. That would have been a huge impact on the global economy. And then just a couple months ago, we were really focused on Brexit. So the market has had very big issues to focus on that have been outside the U.S. And it's really taking them one at a time. And now that those issues are put aside, I think now is when it comes back to, all right, we're near term, we're down to the final four candidates, I guess, but two that are in the news every day.
Stop kidding ourselves. Although the Libertarians, I think they could pair off enough of a percentage point to impact the result. What you're saying to us, Susie Sunshine, and I gave you that nickname so that You could use it on NPR and on Chicago Tonight. I gave you that because you're generally very, very optimistic. And so what I wonder, with the certainty that you can provide, there is going to be some movement here based on the debates and some of the other things as we get closer to really the final decision here.
I definitely think that, and I think we will see more volatility. Again, we're in a lull right now because a lot of people are on vacation, so we're not seeing full volume in the market. And then we go into fall, as we start September, we have more participants in the market. We have the European Bank is meeting the first week of September. The Bank of Japan is meeting. All of them are talking about interest rates. Our Fed is meeting again on the 21st of September. We've got the first U.S. presidential debate on the 26th. And then roll all that forward, we have OPEC meeting again officially on November 30th. So we have a lot of things that can cause some disruption and some news flow that will cause a knee-jerk reaction in the market. So be prepared for that. Fasten your seatbelt. Remember, it's a knee-jerk reaction. Look past it. We want to look to the long term. Don't get bogged down in the daily headline.
There she is, Susan Schmidt, brought to you by DeVry University Keller Graduate School of Management. Learn loud. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Violetta Powder Medic's got the WGN traffic trouble spots.